Welcome back. Episode 3 of the Coach's Office Sports Podcast. Appreciating all the feedback we've been getting. We look forward to Wednesday to talk some sports, talking some football. We got a little baseball today. And back at it again, right? So right off the bat, a recap of last weekend with college football. Lots of upsets.
Yeah.
Lots of upsets. Yeah. Lots of people going down in the top 25.
I think we had a total of 9 this week. 9, which is the most we've had this season so far.
And it just lends to the craziness of this college football season. I mean, there are all kinds of ups and downs. Teams that should be winning are not winning. And the teams are starting to pull away. And there's a lot of teams who, after this weekend, might solidify their places in a position to make a playoff run.
I think also that a lot of teams after this past weekend might have been pushed out of the possibility, you know, of a playoff run.
With all the upsets, I also think now we are in line for someone with one or maybe two losses to get in. I mean, who knows? By the way, the season ends up playing out. But, I mean, everybody's beating everybody right now, it seems like, except for Alabama and Georgia, who will play each other probably, I mean, more than likely, come the SEC championship.
It's going to be an interesting rest of the season. Cincinnati, of course, up they were favored, and now they're moved up to the top five.
Yeah,
a non-power five school in the top five hasn't happened. I mean, not any time that I can think of. And if they keep winning, I don't see them why they couldn't end up in the national championship top.
There's no doubt, man. Cincinnati's looked pretty good. And you know, you look at it, and Cincinnati was ranked higher than Notre Dame, but, I mean, let's face it, guys, that was an upset. Cincinnati beating Notre Dame was an upset.
Stanford beating number 3 Oregon, big-time upset there. Knocked them out of the mix. They're ranked number 8 now after the polls came out. Kentucky beating Florida. Kentucky's now undefeated in the SEC. Should we be talking about Kentucky?
I think so. Kentucky has been playing real good ball as of lately. And, I mean, anytime you beat Florida, even if it is at home, Florida, I mean, played Alabama really, really well in the swamp. Granted, you know, that was in, you know, Gainesville over there. But, I mean, anytime you have a team that plays Alabama tough and you bring them into your stadium and you can beat them, I definitely think, you know, Kentucky now might, you know, find their way, maybe get a few more upsets along the way and get it done.
And they got LSU this weekend. So a big stretch to getting those goals accomplished by beating LSU. And they weren't even ranked. They shot up to 16th after beating Florida. Arizona State knocking off UCLA this week also. Not a big-time upset, but a ranked team, of course. It was 21 versus 19 Baylor and Oklahoma State. And Hawaii upsetting 18 Fresno State. And, of course, the big loss, Mississippi State knocking down the Aggies. How disappointing of a loss is that for Aggie fans? And how much faith are they going to have in Jimbo Fisher if it keeps going this way?
You know, we have a couple of Aggie fans there that work with us. And, you know, I think it all falls down to the quarterback. I think they had their guy, and whenever he went down, man, the guy that was supposedly in a quarterback battle with him before the season started couldn't seem to get it done. So I don't know if that falls on the head of the quarterback or somebody else, but I don't necessarily want to start pointing the finger at Jimbo Fisher yet because I think he's a good football coach. We just have to kind of see where they
go.
Well,
Aggie fans that I've talked to, their main concern is
they're Aggie fans.
Well, yes, they're Aggie fans, and they want to win all the time. But why don't they have anybody ready?
That's what, and everybody's always mentality is next man up. Every time, you know, someone gets hurt, they always interview quarterbacks, coaches, anybody on the team, and then it's always next man up. Well, why isn't A&M's next man up ready? He doesn't look ready. He looks lost. He looks like, you know, he has no control out there. They just look like a completely different ball club with, what's his name, Calzone?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Pizza's Calzone up back there. I mean, he's.
I think everybody knew, and Aggie fans have been saying, they knew there was going to be a drop-off after losing Kellen Mond. And it's very obvious. I mean, King was the guy, and it looked like he was the heir apparent. But for being a big school like that, a big SEC school, not having somebody in the wings.
Being able to recruit out of Texas, too. You're going to find quarterbacks in Texas.
Yeah, and or just putting an athlete back there. Another take from Coach McCourse, our big Aggie alumni in the office, is saying, why are they continuing to run the similar style for a quarterback that obviously is not able to do that? You know, and so he said he's not ready to give up on Jimbo Fisher, and he's not ready because of the situation that they're in. But if they continue to make those type of mistakes, you know, I think they're going to start losing alumni. He's going to start losing Aggie fans. And they might be in the need of calling somebody to take over. The defense has not been as good as anticipated. Their offensive line has a lot of freshmen, which is
three freshmen starting on that offensive line in the SEC. That's hard, man. That's hard to do.
So we'll see.
Very tough game against Bama this week.
And Bama coming up this week, which makes it really hard. A 17.5-point underdog A&M goes into. And I think it's an over on that one. I think Bama
beats them by 30-something, to be honest. I mean,
destroys them. So the next topic we're going to talk about in college football, it's really early in the season, right? 5 games in. Heisman hopefuls. Is there anybody that's in a year where everybody seems to be the same, nobody's really pulling away. You know, as our great boss Coach House likes to say, is that the quarterback play in college football right now is atrocious. Who is it going to be?
Well, you know, you kind of look at it, and I think the favorite is Bryce Young from Alabama, right? I think that's everybody's favorite. He has the best odds to win the Heisman Trophy. Alabama's playing almost lights out right now. I mean, granted, a few weeks ago they had a tough one, but they've played pretty well. But I'm going to talk about a guy here that I don't think many people are talking about, okay? And I know that he's probably not going to win, but Kenny Pickett from Pitt, yes, I said from Pitt, should be in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy. And I have some stats to back this up, too. 1,731 yards on the season, that's ranked 4th in the country. He's thrown 19 touchdowns to 1 interception. That 19 touchdowns is 2nd in the country. He has a QBR of 90.1, also 2nd in the country. So, man, if you're looking for a dark horse, if you're looking for an underdog, if Pitt continues to win, because they're 4-1 right now, if Pitt continues to win, don't be surprised if Kenny Pickett's up there looking for the Heisman Trophy.
And Bryce Young is the favorite, plus 120 right now to win the Heisman Trophy. He doesn't have to be spectacular, and he's got tons of talent around him. Impressive numbers by the Pitt quarterback. Who else is on y'all's radar for Heisman?
On my radar, I mean, I'm a big UT guy, and I think Bijan Robinson should be up there. Texas only has 1 loss on the season, guys, and people made it seem like Texas is done for. I mean, they have 1 loss. Yes, at that time it was to an unranked Arkansas team, who Arkansas has been playing really good ball as of lately. Yes, they did lose to Alabama, but I mean, who's not going to lose to Alabama this year? It's almost going to be everybody. Bijan right now is averaging 21 carries a game for about 130 yards. His total for the season, he has 105 total carries for 652 yards. His lowest workload was against Rice. Now, granted, Rice is awful. But it was a 44-0 game at the half. He only had 13 carries, 127 yards with 3 touchdowns. Now, when they needed him most was this past weekend against TCU, going to Fort Worth. Big 12 game, always TCU and Texas always play each other tough. Always, no matter, throw records out the book when they play, because, I mean, it is always a tough game. They needed him heavy this week, and he had 35 carries for 216 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's big time.
That is big time. And then against the other games he had this year, like against Louisiana to start off the season, 20 carries, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Against Arkansas, a game that Texas didn't even play very fairly well, and I mean, this stat shows that, 19 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown. Then the other game was Texas Tech. Texas Tech was number 57 against the run in the country. He had 18 carries for 137 yards. He does have a big game this weekend. and Oklahoma.
Is this his signature game? Is this if he this, if he busts out a 250 yard rushing game and four touchdowns?
Everybody talks about a Heisman moment.
This could be his Heisman moment.
The Red River rivalry, Dallas, 11 a.m. game, primetime television.
Texas State Fair.
I mean, this is it, man.
This could be the moment, and maybe it puts him in the mix. Right now, he's sitting at plus 3,500, kind of in the middle of the pack. But again, it's such an open season. Teams are winning, teams are losing. And I like Bijan Robinson. I think that he is maybe the top running back in the country right now. But there's a lot of other quarterbacks out there. Of course, Desmond Ridder with Cincinnati. A lot of people talking about him. He just hasn't had that signature win. The biggest win against, of course, was Notre Dame last week, where he did play well. He had 297 yards and two touchdowns, and added a score on the ground. He is a scoring machine. And right now, he's playing possessed. He's carrying that football team. And I was watching on ESPN, they had a thing about him. He recently had a baby about 6 months ago, and him and his fiance, and it looks like his perspective on life, his perspective on sports has changed, and he is attacking and playing with a purpose. So don't be surprised if he's in the mix at the end of the season. Then, of course, Matt Corral from Ole Miss and C.J. Stroud from Ohio State also in the running. But, yeah, the big game this weekend, right? I think the Red River Shootout, a lot of things on the line for this game.
I hate to say it as well, but if Oklahoma pulls out a win and Spencer Rattler has himself a game, maybe. Could that be his Heisman moment?
Well, in the beginning of the season, like we had talked about, he was the projected favorite. Yeah, to win the Heisman Trophy. If he balls out on Saturday against Texas in Dallas, has a big game, Oklahoma wins that football game, he's going to jump up into that top two or three, I think. He has to, right?
If he puts up big numbers and he wins, of course, Texas is ranked 21st. Oklahoma is number 6. So it'd be a huge upset if Texas wins, but not really in this game, right? I mean, we've seen the underdog win this game over and over and over again. And I think that the winner of this game could take claim to the path to the Big 12 championship. Do they see each other again in the Big 12 championship?
Very good possibility.
I think that this weekend is going to be a doubleheader. I think that no matter who wins this football game, Oklahoma and Texas, they are going to see each other again. Now, this has only happened one other time where they played and then they played again in the Big 12 championship.
That was 2018,
where Texas beat Oklahoma in Dallas.
Digger the kicker.
We came back for the Big 12 championship, and Oklahoma beat them. It's hard to beat somebody twice.
It is. It is difficult.
Now, if OU, I think, is able to win this game, it knocks Texas out. Now Texas has two losses in a Big 12 to Arkansas and to OU. I think they do see each other again in December for that Big 12 championship. Now, the only thing they could do at that point is knock out Oklahoma.
Right.
But if Texas wins this game, now they're both still in the conversation.
Well, OU is ripe for a loss. I mean, let's be realistic. Yeah, I know we talked about it last week. You know, Smith, big OU fan, a Boomer Sooner, was sure that Kansas State was gonna be the one. Is this a lot better team than they've seen in the last few weeks,
right?
Or maybe this season? And Texas is riding high right now. I mean, their defense is playing well.
Casey Thompson took over, and he is.
And that's my next point, is this is Casey Thompson's team.
Yes.
And then, if you didn't know this, but Casey Thompson is an Oklahoma kid.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, his father played for OU, was like a quarterback at Oklahoma. So, I mean, to me, the stars are lining up here for Casey Thompson. Was benched at the beginning of the season, who to me looked the best out of any quarterback they had last season. And then coming into this season, he didn't get the shot, but now he gets his shot, and he's taken over.
He ran with it.
He is a general on the field. He is both with his legs and his arm. I mean, I'm liking Texas in this game, and which would then set up some really interesting things for Texas coming down the line. Other games this week that should be interesting. I put Cincy on here, Cincy versus Temple. I think Cincinnati is a great story. I mean – you know, not a Power 5 conference, playing great football. Their defense is good. Their quarterback has a great story. I love Ritter, and I want to see him do well. They're playing Temple.
At home.
They're playing at home. Yeah. And they should, it should be a blowout. But it's a game that I definitely want to watch.
We're going to talk about Cincinnati for a little bit. They are always kind of in the conversation to be a good football team, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they go, you know, 8-4, 9-3, 10-2, somewhere in that area, they're always kind of a good football team. But the last time that I can remember them having this much hype and this, they were this good, was maybe when Brian Kelly was there.
Yeah.
It's been a
while. When Brian Kelly was there, they were pretty salty for a couple of years. I think they're coming back, man. Cincinnati might be the real deal. Now, are they going to be able to continue playing the way that they've played? That's yet to be determined, but keep an eye on those guys,
man. I think the only thing that scares me with Cincinnati right now is, and I've said it all, I say it all the time, after a big win comes a really bad loss.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think what really helps them here is they are at home this weekend. I think if this game's at Temple,
it helps that they're playing Temple.
Yeah, I mean that does
come on,
help.
Let's be realistic here.
But I mean, I don't know. I root for the guy. I mean, I root for them. I hope Cincinnati can find their way into the playoff. That'd be the first non-Power 5 school to make the playoff, and I think they look legit. They do. So hopefully they're able to ride the rest of the season off this Notre Dame win and blow everybody out and find themselves in the top four.
The other game of interest this week is number 4, Penn State versus Iowa. We've been saying all year, right? Iowa's not for real. They barely beat Iowa State. I mean, it's just, you know, they haven't really beat anybody like that. But they're kind of starting to put it together. And after this week, I think a lot of those answers are going to be. I mean, all those questions are going to be answered if they knock off this Penn State team, who right now is looking pretty impressive. I mean, this is going to be a huge matchup. Where is this game? I don't have it in my notes here.
It's in Iowa.
At Iowa.
At Iowa.
3 o'clock game on Fox. So I will say this. Because I'm a big OU fan, right, obviously that's my game that I'm going to be, you know, most hyped up about this weekend. But, dude, Penn State, Iowa, 3-4. At Iowa,
insane.
Man, that is going to be big.
1.5-point spread.
And you talk about coming off of big games. Penn State coming off of that, Auburn game, right? I wasn't too sure about Penn State at the time. They put it to Auburn. We're still not very sure about Iowa. This is going to be Iowa's game to cement that they are the real deal, that they deserve to be in the top three where they are. I think Iowa.
Does the Big Ten have a championship?
The Big Ten has a championship, and these guys are on two separate spectrums of it. Hmm. These two could see each other again for the Big Ten title.
This could be 2 weeks where we have a, you know, two teams playing that could potentially meet
play again in the championship weekend. And yeah. I mean, again, the winner of this one sitting pretty. Sitting real pretty.
Top five, top four, top three.
I mean, they're sitting beautiful. If you lose this game, you're still not out of it. I mean, if you come back and Coach Smith said it earlier, hard to beat a team twice. And if you find, if let's say, you know, Penn State loses this game, comes back and beats, you know, stays right around that 6-7 range, then goes and beats Iowa in the Big Ten championship, I mean, you never know.
It's
almost
the same exact scenario.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. A lot of good games.
Is it crazy of us to be talking about a Big Ten championship without Ohio State being involved?
Yeah.
Well,
and
they only
and
have,
they're still number
they
seven
one,
in the
they're
country.
They're number seven in the country. They have one loss. Ohio State's never out of it. If they run the table from here on out, they're going to make their conference championship, and then, you know, who knows from there. I think right now there's so much parity. There's so many teams that are up and down, losing and winning in the top 25, that when it's all said and done, guys, we're going to have it's going to be an awesome, awesome conference championship season and an awesome bowl. Like, the bowls are just, it's going to, I mean.
It's going to be so much
fun.
Going
to be so many good games.
Oh, yeah. It's going to
so
be awesome.
Fun.
Another game this week is number 13, Arkansas versus number 17, Ole Miss. And then, of course, Georgia and Auburn. Georgia's on another level right now. You know, they skunked.
I think them and Bama have on just their own.
They skunked Arkansas 37-0.
Yeah.
And Arkansas was looking pretty impressive going into that game.
They couldn't
do anything. I think that we even talked about the possibility of Arkansas beating Georgia. And Georgia...
They listened to our podcast.
They listened to our podcast.
And said, screw you guys. Yeah,
they laid it down
Billboard on them, material right there.
They laid it down on them. Anytime somebody rolls in like that, I think, especially if you're a Georgia of the world, Alabama of the world, and someone's riding high, coming in off a couple of big wins the way that Arkansas was, it kind of fuels the fire a little bit, doesn't it? It kind of makes you want to, knock those guys down a peg.
I think it's like we've said before, it's Georgia and Alabama and everybody else. And as long as they stay undefeated, of course, I think you're going to see them in the playoffs, obviously. And if they get knocked off, I mean, is this the week that it happens? Does Auburn have a chance?
I don't think Auburn has a chance.
Yeah.
I think Georgia's going to lay it down on them the way that they did Arkansas. So.
Is this game in Auburn? Like, is it?
It's at Auburn. It's at Auburn, but...
15.5 point favorites, Georgia.
I don't think that matters, guys. I really don't. Not this week.
No, and Arkansas Ole Miss should be fun to watch. Just an old-fashioned SEC slugfest. Fun to watch.
At Oxford.
Here's a game that maybe you guys haven't thought about. Is SMU. I know it sounds crazy. SMU sitting at 5-0.
Took like three quality wins.
TCU, La Tech, University of Southern Florida. I mean, it's no Georgia or Alabama or anybody like that. But SMU is sitting at 5-0 right now. They play Navy this weekend. A 13.5 point favorite. And SMU is making some noise.
It's huge for SMU to be the kings of the DFW. And right now, they're the kings of the DFW.
Yeah.
They beat TCU. For SMU, that is
huge. Huge.
SMU also has three running backs that all three of those guys are killing it right now. I don't have the stats in front of me, or I would let you know about those guys, but SMU has three guys, a three-headed monster. They're going to...
Also breaking the top 25. They're 24th right
now. They're a ranked team now. So, man, I'm kind of liking what I'm seeing out of the old Mustangs, man. I'm really liking them.
It's interesting. It's SMU, San Diego State, jumping into the poll. Kentucky, of course, Texas and Arizona State. Clemson, A&M, Oregon State, Baylor, all dropping out of the top 25.
Clemson, I think this is the first time since 2014.
Yeah.
That they have not been ranked.
That's impressive.
I was in high school.
It's definitely an interesting football season. The other game that I'm keeping an eye on is Kentucky. Again, like I said earlier, they're undefeated. LSU, it could be another big win, I don't know. They got to rebuild that thing over there.
One game I had to keep an eye on was UTSA. We're south of San Antonio here, so
yeah.
We always like the hometown teams. But UTSA, 5-0, going up against a Western Kentucky. They are the dogs this week. 3.5 favorite. Last I saw it, Western Kentucky is 1-3. Their one win was against Tennessee Martin, which they demolished them. I think I have their thing here somewhere. It wasn't even close. Anyway, I don't know. They demolished them, whatever it was. Their three losses are against, good squads. I mean, not good squads necessarily. They lost, against Michigan State. Michigan State is ranked. Then they lost to Indiana, which, yes, Indiana is Indiana, not great football. But it's a Power 5 school. And then they lost to Army. Army was by a field goal. It wasn't a blowout. Indiana wasn't even a blowout. Both of those games were fairly close until the end. The Michigan State was the only one that kind of got out of hand. Western Kentucky scored a couple times late to make it interesting, really. But, it was Michigan State controlled it most of the game. But I think as coming in as a dog, maybe UTSA always finds something to spark them. And like I said, anytime anybody has come to the Alamo Dome this year, for some reason, the opposing coach, player, somebody has something to say about the student section, about UTSA football, about something.
About the turf.
About anything.
The dome.
And
they're playing with a chip on their shoulder right now. it seems that they're garnering respect. They're trying to garner respect. They're trying to get into the top 25, receiving 10 votes this week. Last week they had gotten 11. You know, if they keep it on a roll, they're going to pop that top 25, and it's going to be exciting for the city of San Antonio. All right, so next up we got some NFL talk.
So next,
lots of interesting stuff going on in the NFL. So we're going to talk everything from the Dallas Cowboys, Tom Brady, is he the GOAT? And then, of course, our fantasy football wrap-up. Love it, love it. So NFL is
not for long.
I can't be impartial. Okay, I'm a huge Dallas fan. That's obvious. Everybody that knows me, I live and die Cowboys. Mostly die for the last 25 years. But as this team seems to be putting it together, I mean,
I think Dan Quinn has taken that defense and. Obviously, by the recent news, sent a statement.
Yeah.
Said, you're either on board or you're out. I don't care who you are. I mean, recently signed, was it this past offseason? Jalen Smith gave him a ton of money. Said, hey, think this Michael Parsons kid's a little bit better right now. Word on the street was he didn't take that very well.
Well, they signed Neal from the Falcons. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they have Van Der Esch.
Didn't like it very well. Wasn't on board. And Jerry Jones said, here's the boot.
They were saying this morning on sports radio that it may have been a mutual agreement. But, you know, where they said, hey, you're not going to be a starter. We need to restructure your contract. And he's like, you know what? Just let me go. Let me go find somewhere else to go. And they said, okay. But this afternoon, from the looks of it, it seems that the linebacker room in Frisco is not happy with the move and has made it very clear. Van Der Esch has come out and made statements to the media about how it's unfair. Micah Parsons, who stayed very impartial, said, this is the first time I've realized that this is a business. And I mean, there's a reason they're letting him go. One is he's not playing up to what they're paying him in his contract. They're paying him $7.2 million this year. They're going to eat that. But he was due 9.8 next year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like we were listening on sports radio earlier today. This is what good teams do, right?
They talked about it where they said, God dang, what's his name?
Jalen Smith.
No, not the coach. God dang it. What's his
Quinn.
Name? Quinn.
Jerry Jones.
No,
what are
God
you talking
dang
about,
it.
Man?
McCarthy? Are you okay, brother?
The old coach?
Yes, of the 90s.
Oh, Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy God Johnson. Dang it, dude. Cowboys fan, I just freaking went blank right now.
Kick or miss a field goal.
They said, you know, Jimmy Johnson is saying, hey, he misses a field goal, whatever.
Guy misses a tackle on
special teams. Yeah. Cut that guy. And they said, you know, he would be straight to cut people. Real quick, I'm going to cut people. And now that Jalen Smith was a starter, got paid big money, and they just said, cut him.
I mean,
cut him. And they said, getting backlash from it. How do you cut a guy you just signed to, you know, a big contract or whatever? And, I mean, I agree with it. You're not on board, cut him.
Yeah.
I mean, with the team that they have this year, what it looks like thus far is they got a shot.
But what did they say on the...
he said, he's a good guy. We're not stating he's a good guy. My dad's a good guy. I don't want him playing outside for the Cowboys.
Coming from a completely impartial viewpoint here, because I'm not a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. just in general, not stating that the Jalen Smith thing, you know, wasn't huge, but I think that they found their formula. I think, and you know, I listened to Skip and Shannon in the morning a lot, so shout out to big Cowboys fan Skip Bayless if you're listening. But Dallas, since Dak Prescott has got there, is 27-0 when they run the ball more than they throw the ball. And even though, you know, Zeke has been on a little bit of a decline, right? Tony Pollard has kind of stepped up a little bit. Now that they're able to run the damn football, as Coach Alvarez would say, they're winning football games.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the best thing for any quarterback is a good running game. You know, if you could, you can run the ball, get, you know, get people in the box. Now we're able to throw over the top. Plus, Dak Prescott has a 66% completion rating for his career. Now, it's a small career, but...
I was reading somewhere, too, where they were talking about Zeke finally this year accepted the fact that it's not all on his shoulders. Before, they say he was running like, you know, if I don't gain yards, we don't gain yards. Like it was almost as if he thought the only way we were going to win games is if I run the football 25 times for 150 yards and, you know, three touchdowns. That was the only way they were going to win games.
I mean, I don't know Zeke personally, but he seems to be having a lot of fun, right? I mean, he seems like a very fun-loving guy. From Hard Knocks, watching this season in the summer, him and Dak have a great relationship, it seems.
Almost like me and Smith.
Yeah, definitely.
Same page, baby.
But it seems that he's having fun. It seems like the locker room is solidified. And one thing that doesn't hurt is having Trayvon Diggs on defense.
Oh, Trayvon Diggs has been absolutely
locked down.
He's amazing right now. Has the high, he's graded out at a 92.2 on Pro Football Focus. The NFL Player of the Month. Trayvon Diggs has been targeted 8 times. And he's got 5 interceptions, guys. Like, that's and a pick six.
We're talking Deion Sanders type of numbers here.
It's insane.
So I have his draft stuff. So he went number 51 overall to the Dallas Cowboys. There were 7 cornerbacks taken before him.
Wow.
Okay. Trayvon Diggs, in his short going on 2 years, has 8 interceptions total. Okay. 5 this year. He had 3 last year. Okay. Out of the 7 corners taken before him, they all have a combined 9.
Wow. Some of them aren't even in the league, right?
Six of those are from A.J. Terrell from Atlanta.
Wow. Who is playing well?
Pretty good football
player. Yeah, he is. He was number 16 overall. But you have the number 3 guy who went in that draft, Jeff Okuda. Right. Fortunately for him, what did he tear his ACL? Somehow out for the season. But he only has 1 interception in his career. C.J. Henderson from Jacksonville, 1 interception. Damian Arnett from Vegas, none. This Noah guy, I can't even pronounce his last name. He's in Miami, and I'm a Miami guy, and I just know him as Noah I. He's a bench guy. Yeah. I don't even think he's in the – he probably's on the practice squad, maybe. Minnesota has a guy that was taken.
Gladney, right?
Gladney. Yeah.
Doesn't have
a pick. And then there was actually the Chicago, Nowlin's beloved Chicago Bears.
They took a corner
right before the Cowboys did. Like, literally, pick number 50, Jalen Johnson, and he has 1 interception. And do we think maybe Diggs is that good, or Dan Quinn is making this guy?
Well, considering that he had 3 interceptions last year, the skill's definitely there. You can see that.
Oh, it's the family. I mean,
but I, yeah, brother. I mean, his brother Stephon Diggs, who he's a dog.
Get your money, Trayvon.
Right,
Trayvon,
so,
dog.
But I think it's probably a little bit of both, Rick. I think that that his talent's definitely there to do whatever he needs to do in the pass game. But I also think that maybe Dan Quinn's defense is putting him in the right position to make these plays.
Well, yes, I think Quinn is definitely doing a lot better job than whoever we had last year. I can't even remember his name.
Mike Nolan,
was
right?
It? Yeah, was Mike it Nolan, Nolan. Mike you're Nolan. Right. Failed Mike Nolan, as I like to refer to him. The best thing about this, guys, is that we're talking about the Cowboys' defense and how good it's been, right? Because they have weapons on offense. We've talked about it on the podcast.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, guys. And as long as the defense just has to be okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to score points.
And been saying it for years.
So imagine if they're good. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there just because everybody always says whenever somebody becomes available, Jerry Jones wants to get him. Right?
Yeah.
Well, Gallimore was released this...
Gallimore...
was released this morning, but...
was not released. We saw that and we kind of freaked out about it, right? We're like, oh, Stephon Gallimore.
So, update.
There was talks about him being released. this morning at about 10 o'clock Central Time, just in case someone's listening from the East or the West Coast, 10 o'clock Central Time, he was traded to the Carolina Panthers for a freaking sixth round
draft. Y'all freaking threw me off.
Wow.
And I thought his name was Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore, yeah, that's
what he's saying. Gallimore.
Stephon Gilmore.
Throwing me off.
Was traded
first time
to the
I've
Panthers,
ever messed up on anything.
A four-time All-Pro, two-time Pro Bowler, or maybe I have those numbers mixed.
For a sixth-rounder.
But a freaking
a sixth-rounder.
Now, granted, he's been on the PUP list this year. He missed some time last year. I'm not sure.
He was out. He opted out, didn't he, for COVID?
That might have been what it was.
I think he opted out
and
last year for
this year, he's been on the PUP for the first four games. So I guess, you know, Bill Belichick's one of those guys. If you're not helping the team,
hopefully he helps Matt Rule. The Panthers are rolling right now, too. They're doing a pretty good job. Although, they just lost to my Dallas Cowboys. So so glad he wasn't there when we played him. All right, next topic up is, you know, everybody talked about the Sunday night game, right? Huge ratings. Because Tom Brady was going up against his former
going back to Fox
former bro. Team.
Yeah.
And he broke, of course, the all-time leading record for passing, which I didn't know this, but it doesn't include playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until I watched on Sunday. Surpassing Drew Brees with 80,560 yards passing in the regular season, making him the all-time leader. So my question to you guys is he the GOAT? And if he is the GOAT, who are the top five in your book of quarterbacks in the NFL of all time?
Okay.
Of all time.
Okay. I love this debate. You have this debate in all major sports, right? Everybody
who's
wants to
GOAT?
Talk about who's the GOAT. Who's the GOAT? Well, I put together a list and I tried not to have a specific criteria, okay? I tried to mix everything up. I couldn't do everything based off of just Super Bowls. I couldn't do everything based off of pure arm talent. I couldn't do everything based off of how smart a guy is, right? So I kind of tried to mold all of that into one thing. And I came up with, I know you said a top five list, Coach, but mine is a top five-ish.
Top five-ish, list. Okay.
But just because I have six, and I couldn't leave one of these guys off of my list, so I'm going to go ahead and, you know, give you my top five-ish. So at number one, the GOAT for me is Tom Brady, right? He's got to be the GOAT. Leader in passing yards, great football mind, studies the game.
Leader in all-time passing touchdowns.
Passing touchdowns and freaking been to 10 Super Bowls.
10 Super Bowls.
Been to
10
Super Bowls.
That's ridiculous. Like,
and he's won seven.
I didn't know that till I looked it up. And as I kept going back in the history of the winners of the Super Bowl, I kept going back and his name is over and over and over again. 10 Super Bowls. 7-3 in Super Bowls. 5 Super Bowl MVPs.
That's if he's not the GOAT, then I mean, you know.
The next closest in appearances was John Elway was in 5, and he was 2-for-3 in Super Bowls.
I'm just gonna
Kelly
say,
went to 4, and he lost all 4 of them.
The way you said he's been to 10 Super Bowls. 10 Super Bowls. I can't wait till we bring up basketball now.
Okay.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
We're going to get to
I'm
that conversation.
Leave it at that.
Because I also...
But he's 7-3.
I also have a little bit of maybe basketball talk that goes along with this... with this GOAT conversation as well, but we'll talk about that after we...
And we're talking about the GOAT quarterback.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Quarterback.
Okay.
Just quarterback. Not...
We'll talk about the GOAT thing after everyone gives their list, right? I don't want to talk for too long.
Right.
My number two is Peyton Manning. I mean, just watch the guy play. Just watch him play, and I don't see, you know, anybody being that much better than Peyton Manning. My number three, Joe Montana. Joe Montana, four rings, killed it the whole time he started. Even whenever he went to Kansas City, he wasn't that bad in Kansas City at the twilight of his career.
You know, statistically, he's like top 25, top 26 in some of the bigger stats, you know, passing yards, things like that. But he was known for being clutch winning football games.
Mm-hmm.
My number four is Drew Brees. Smaller guy, yes. Texas guy, right? Drew Brees could do anything that anybody that's 6'6" could do. Sometimes he might not have been able to see over his offensive line, right? But Drew Brees was the man. My number five is Dan Marino. Although he never won a Super Bowl, just pure
probably
arm,
the greatest to never win
a Super Bowl.
Just pure arm talent, knowledge of the game, man. That dude, Dan Marino, was great. And here's where my five-ish comes into play. Number six, the old gunslinger Brett Favre, man. I love Brett Favre. Now, it may be a little bit of bias on my part because Brett Favre is my favorite quarterback of all time, but Brett Favre could make any throw on a football field. He did not care what was going on. He was freaking slinging the rock around the yard, no matter what. Brett Favre. So that's my top five-ish quarterbacks.
It's hard not to pick your top five using your heart. I mean, in this debate, whenever you have the GOAT debates, who's the greatest, you're always going to think about your team. You're going to think about your favorite players. And also the genre, or not the genre, but the time at which you started falling in love with football. I mean, for me, I'm a little older than you guys. Actually, probably a lot older than you guys. I mean, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Troy Aikman.
How hard was it for you to keep Troy Aikman?
It's really difficult, but, I'm a big analytics guy. You guys know that. I research all this stuff probably more than I should. I went with statistics, right? I went with statistics. And statistically, Troy's just not up there. I mean, probably because he had Emmitt Smith at running back. I mean, be realistic here, and a great offensive line and a killer defense. And there's a lot of greats. Dan Fouts. I didn't really get to see Dan Fouts, but I always remember my dad talking about him and how great he was. Guys like that. Roger Staubach. All these great quarterbacks. So, again, I just went statistically speaking, Brady is the greatest of all time. Right? Passing yards leader, touchdowns leader, Super Bowl leader, Super Bowl MVP leader as a quarterback. He's the greatest. He's still doing it, guys. He's freaking still doing it.
He's 106 years old.
At least 105. All right, come on. Drew Brees was my number two, and again, also because of his numbers. Just right behind Brady. Peyton Manning, right behind him, with 71,940 yards and 539 touchdowns. Two Super Bowls, one Super Bowl MVP, and then Brett Favre, right? Now, my number five, I wanted to leave him off the list, right? To be real honest. But since we're going statistically, Philip Rivers is statistically the fifth best quarterback of all time in the NFL. It's crazy, right, to think about.
It's insane.
But as I started looking at this list for passing yards, Chad Pennington is like number eight all-time in passing yards. So, again, I'm going to get a lot of flack for this because I am going statistically. And everybody, like I said, has their heartstrings when it comes to quarterbacks. But Phillips Rivers, 63,440 yards passing, 421 touchdowns, zero Super Bowls. But put up a lot of yards in his career. A
lot of touchdowns.
For my top five, I more or less just made it a tier. Like, you could rank these in any kind of order because you have an argument for any one of these guys, to be honest.
It's so hard.
So I'm just going to list the five that I have. Four of them are pretty much the same. Tom Brady, numbers speak for themselves. Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Brett Favre. Now, the fifth guy I had in here, in this tier, is one that you guys have not mentioned. Personally, hate this man. But he is good.
When you say hate, I think I already know what you're going to say.
I think I do too, and I think he's a division rival.
It is.
Damn it.
Aaron Rodgers.
Good. Statistically in the top 10 in everything. Yeah.
I hate that man, but
you can't disrespect.
Damn, that boy good.
You can't disrespect the talent, man.
No.
Not at all. So
I would not want to drink a beer with the guy, but he wins football games.
Listen, you can put those guys in any order, and you can put a debate up for any of them, to be honest.
And this isn't the first time we're going to do top fives. Like I said, we do want to get back to the top five basketball talk. Basketball's getting rolling here. We're going to get to that because I know that Rick is very passionate about LeBron James.
Before we move on from the GOAT conversation, okay, I want to try to point something out, and I want to see if maybe you guys kind of fall in line with this. I heard this recently, and you can even look at some of these guys, and you'll agree with what I'm saying. Depending on, you know, who you have in your list, a lot of these GOATs that we talk about have had also great head coaches.
True.
Right? You look at Tom Brady. Bill Belichick, by a lot of people, is looked at as the GOAT of head coaches. Right? You look at Joe Montana. He had Walsh. Walsh may be one of the greatest offensive minds to ever step foot on a football field. Okay? You look at Drew Brees. This is one of the guys that I have on mine. Yeah. He had Sean Payton. Sean Payton. Great offensive mind. Now, some of these other guys, right, that you look at, and all of us had, you know, Peyton on our list, but he had some good coaches.
Tony Dungy.
Did he ever have a great football coach?
Well, he was pretty much a coach on
Peyton
the field.
Peyton Manning had to coach it from the field, yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, if Peyton Manning and Tom Brady switch places, are we not talking about Peyton Manning as being the greatest of all time?
Oh, yeah. Or any of these guys, if they go to Belichick. That's why it's so interesting to see what Belichick is going to do now that Brady is gone, right? That was the big story. I don't think Mac Jones played bad on Thursday. In fact, some people were saying that he outplayed Tom Brady. But in the clutch situation, it's fourth and three. You'd probably need about another two. You know, if they get the first down and then kick the field goal, it becomes a 50-yarder instead of a 54-yarder or whatever. And they win that game.
Right.
Did he just not trust Mac Jones to make that throw? I mean, they were already decimated at cornerback, Tampa Bay was. Mm-hmm. Sherman was out there who did not look ready to play football. and they just did.
On what, 2 days of practice?
Yeah. So the greatest coach did not trust his quarterback in that situation. I don't know why, but so it's interesting to see what he's going to do. Mac Jones has a lot of talent,
a lot of potential.
Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick, right? I mean, he didn't obviously have the talent of the guys that went in front of him, how many ever, 100 of players that went before him. But he turned out to be the GOAT, and that's one of the greatest stories about him. All right, so for the next segment... All right, so in this next segment, we're going to look at the NFL. And everybody, I want you guys to pick the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, one good thing that you saw this weekend, one bad thing, and one ugly thing, and I'll go ahead and start it off. Of course, my good, I'm biased, is the Dallas Cowboys. I'm loving the way they're playing right now. You know, I know that every other game is an NFC East opponent, and we think that we're the greatest team in the world, but we did get a quality win this weekend over a good Carolina team. And my 1B good is the Arizona Cardinals. I know that Rick got a lot of flack for talking about them being Super Bowl contenders a few weeks ago, but they look like the real deal. My bad is Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, man.
You know, talking about Tom Brady being the GOAT, there is obviously a difference here, right? Because they're both older quarterbacks. One is taking care of themselves. The other one has not. And it just it's not going well for Big Ben.
There has always been talk of Big Ben not taking off-season stuff seriously, not taking workouts seriously, and not taking care of his body. And you, like you said, you could definitely tell a difference between a 40-year-old Tom Brady and a 40-year-old Ben Roethlisberger.
And my ugly is Urban Meyer.
Oh, right? Come on, Urban.
Yeah. You know better than that.
He does. He should. I mean, the internet, the phones are everywhere. I mean, and most people we talk to is like, well, I don't think his wife is probably mad that he's doing it. It's mad that he got caught or that it was out there for everybody to see. These kind of things just seem to follow Urban Meyer, right? I mean, when he was at Florida, guys, he had Aaron Hernandez. There was like 20 of his players were arrested at some point or another.
And Tim Tebow led him.
And Tim Tebow led the prayer meeting, right? I mean, and then he goes to Ohio State. He has an assistant who was involved in some domestic violence situations, and he tries to put it under the rug, right? I think that he may not finish the season. Apparently, the ownership is very disgruntled with him. The players are disgruntled. The fans are disgruntled. And he tried to throw Trevor Lawrence under the bus, too, in his horrible press conference that he had. So that's my ugly. Coach Smith?
My good has been the Cleveland Browns backfield. Right, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Man, these guys are killing it right now. Both of them are averaging over 5 yards a carry. They both have 3 rushing touchdowns. Okay, Chubb is at 91 yards a game and Hunt is at 59. So when you add that up, that's 150 yards rushing a game from your two backs, which you combine those, that's almost a bell cow running back, right? Kareem Hunt is also the leader in receptions and receiving yards for Cleveland. Okay, so that's why I'm not just talking about the run game here. I'm talking about the backfield. He's second in targets behind Austin Hooper and Odell Beckham. I have some other things here, too, where, you know, Chubb has 362 yards on the ground. Hunt has 234. Like I said, man, these two guys, and Chubb can catch the ball out of the backfield too. Now, he only has 4 catches to Kareem Hunt's 12. But, man, if Cleveland keeps playing like this, I think they're in the consideration for the AFC Championship at least. The bad, man, the Minnesota Vikings defense. Like I said, man, I'm a big Vikings fan. I think I've stated that on the podcast before. Since Mike Zimmer came in to Minnesota, we've been known for 2 things. We run the damn ball, and we play good defense. Mike Zimmer is a defense-first coach. Right now, in yards per game, Minnesota is number 25th in the league. Rushing yards a game, 25th in the league. And passing yards a game, they're 18th in the league. All of those are bottom-half stats. That is not good. If they don't get it together on the defensive side of the ball, Minnesota could find themselves in the ugly column very soon. And my ugly, Seattle. I mean,
the town or
no? The Seattle Seahawks, man. I know that they're 2-2. I know they have Pete Carroll. I know they have Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett. But other than Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett, who's doing anything for those guys? Right now, let me check these stats real quick because I have them here. In defense, just defense, they are dead last in yards per game. They are dead last in rushing yards per game. And they are 28th out of 32 in passing yards per game. Okay? And their offense doesn't help them out very well. They're 19th in overall yards. They're 18th in rushing, 17th in passing. They're outscoring their opponents as of this point by 0.8 points a game. If you're a club like Seattle who's perennially good and known to be a power, you cannot have that much difference between your offense and your defense. They've always been a defensive team. Even after the Legion of Boom left, they were pretty defensive. Okay, these last couple years, they started to fall off. Russell Wilson started playing a little bit better. Russell Wilson's a stud. But Seattle, man, y'all are pretty ugly right now.
So for my one good, bad, and ugly, my good was the Arizona win. You're going up against a really good Los Angeles Rams team on the road. However, I always say with a really good win comes a really bad loss. And I think the Rams had that. They had a really good win against Tampa Bay. Put a goose egg up against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, take nothing away from the Cardinals. I think it was a really, really, really good win for them. Went in there, and it wasn't even close for most of the game. I mean, they just went in there, and they did their thing. And I got a lot of heat for saying that Arizona was going to be really good and could possibly be talking about them in December as a Super Bowl contender. Mind you, they're the only last undefeated team. That's on another discussion. My one bad was the 7 starters out for Denver.
That's rough.
That is not set up for success, no matter who you are. You're a 3-0 ball club. Now, granted, you were probably the worst 3-0 team in the league at this point. But going in against Baltimore, who is pretty good in their own part, and being out seven starters, you're not going to win very many ball games, no matter who you're playing. So, yeah, that was real bad for them on their part. Hopefully they get those guys back and are able to compete. And my one ugly was the Houston loss. Now, you did go up against Buffalo. Buffalo is good. I understand that. You did have a new quarterback who was on his first full week. He did take over, two games ago, but then they had that short game, that short week, I'm sorry, where they played on Thursday night. So this was his first full week as a starter. However, it did not look like that. I mean, it looked like they were a JV football team going up against the Detroit Lions. I mean, it was bad. It was real ugly on their part. A lot of questions to be answered over there in Houston. Really glad I'm not a Houston fan. Go Cowboys. So.
Glad I'm not a Houston fan.
I have a couple things, you know, based off of what you said, Rick. I don't know if you guys know this. Just one interesting stat that I heard the other day. Did you know that Sunday, whenever Baltimore won their game, it was their 43rd straight game with 100 yards rushing? Did you know that?
I didn't.
That's insane.
That's incredible.
Well, that leads us to our next topic is, you know, the 100 yard rushing was kind of the milestone for a winning football team, right? Typically it came from one guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? The workhorse running back, right? 30 carries a game. I mean, there were plenty of times where Emmitt Smith had 35 carries a game, you know, 200 yards rushing, 180 yards rushing, 150 yards rushing. Put the team on his back, right? It's been a long time that there's been that type of bell cow running back. Even now in the league, right, Derrick Henry leads the league in attempts with 113 attempts.
That's 28 a game.
It's 28 a game. He leads the league, and then it drops off after that. Number two is Joe Mixon with 83. Alvin Kamara with 78. Nick Chubb with 69. And then David Montgomery at 69 and Ezekiel Elliott with 64. These guys aren't even getting 20 carries a game.
Yeah, that number six running back you just said right there, Coach Zeke, he has 64 carries in four games. That's 16 carries a game. That's not very many carries.
I mean, the days of the bell cow are done, I think. I mean,
well, the game now protects that quarterback and the receivers. So, I mean, most of the time I think they're slinging it out there. If we're not catching it, we're going to get a PI call, cuz literally any little type of touch on this man's freaking jersey is getting called for PI.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, the game's built to protect those defenseless guys. And if you're turning around handing this football off to a guy with a full head of steam, well, I mean, it's a lot easier to stop that than it is to, I mean, how do you play corner now? I mean, it's difficult for them to play corner and to play safety. And it has made the rules have made this a passing league now.
Right.
And so I think those days until something gets changed, which I don't see it happening.
Right.
It's not a workhorse league no more.
Right. People like points. They like seeing people score touchdowns. I tell you, I knew it was going to be an interesting year from our fantasy. Right? After the first three or four running backs were gone.
You kind of didn't know.
And now you're trying to find guys that catch the ball because they get more points, right? I mean, Cordell Patterson is tearing up NFL fantasy. He's got less than 10 carries for the season.
He's listed as a running back now, right?
He is. So it's just crazy. You know, me being an offensive line guy, I want to see those workhorse running backs, but I think the days are gone. It's going to be by committee.
You go back and look at, you know, even two of these guys that we had in that top six, right? You look at Nick Chubb and you look at Ezekiel Elliott. Both of those guys obviously lead their team in carries. But both of those guys also have people behind them, i.e. Tony Pollard and Kareem Hunt, that are also getting those carries. Look at those two teams. They're both winning.
They're both winning, yeah.
They're both running the football, Dallas and Cleveland, and they're both winning football games. So I agree that the days of the bell cow are gone. I think that Derrick Henry is probably the last one that we're going to see. Hopefully not ever.
And how long does he last, but too?
That's... For a long time. But does it go more to a committee kind of thing? Do you need two great backs to be able to run the ball now?
I think so. I think you do. But so that leads us going into our fantasy talk. Rick, what do you got for us this week on fantasy?
So I have a waiver wire pickup of the week. I know waiver wires usually come out today. Check for this guy. See if he's still on your waiver wire. I definitely pick him up. And that is Chicago running back Damian Williams. David Montgomery has a banged up knee. Doesn't look like he's going to play. Chicago this week is going up against Las Vegas, who is number 26 against the run. When Montgomery went out and Damian Williams came in, he put up 15 points last week. Granted, it was against Detroit, but hey, still a good number. He does have a bruised thigh, but I don't think it should be much of a problem. If I were you and I need a running back this week desperately, I'm trying to pick up Damian Williams. I also have a stardom, sit-em, and a sleeper pick of the week. Now, with this, I'm not giving one per position, so I'm not giving a stardom quarterback, sit-em quarterback, sleeper quarterback. I'm just giving one overall general for each category. For my start of the week, it was very tough for me to put this guy as a Cowboys fan, but Daniel Jones. The Cowboys are 29th against the pass. They probably would be a little bit more like 30-31, but people decided to throw to Trayvon Diggs. And we have already discussed that Trayvon Diggs situation. But on average, the Cowboys are giving up 22.4 fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. And Daniel Jones might not be great at playing quarterback, great at fantasy football playing quarterback. So I'd start Daniel Jones if you have him on your roster for this week. My sit of the week is Chris Carson from the Seattle Seahawks. He's going up against a very tough L.A. Rams ball club. L.A. is 21 against the run, which is would think would be in your favor. However, I just don't see L.A. giving up a lot to Chris Carson. It's a short week for them. They're playing on Thursday night. And Chris Carson also is coming with a little bit of a neck injury. How he plays from Sunday to tomorrow is beyond me. I wouldn't start him. If you have other backs in your league, I'd go ahead and start those guys. Which leads me to my sleeper pick. Also a running back. Michael Carter for the New York Jets. The Jets are taking on Atlanta this week. Atlanta's number 23 against the run. It was a kind of three-headed committee there to see who was going to take it over with Michael Carter, Tevin Coleman, and Ty Johnson. And it seems pretty clear and obvious now that Michael Carter is getting running back one reps. He's getting last week he had 13 rushes, didn't have very many yards. He had 38 yards, but he did have a touchdown. But going forward, it looks like Michael Carter is going to be the guy for them. So my sleeper pick of the week, if you have him on your bench and you kind of don't have that flex playing, you don't know who to play there, Michael Carter has some upside. I definitely go with Michael Carter.
All right. Excellent job on the fantasy there. My fantasy is horrible right now. Just the point that I don't want to talk about it. But those are some great pickups there. If you got those guys on your fantasy, try to pick them up. Some great, great pickups there. Coach Nowlin, shout out to Coach Nowlin, is not with us today. Feeling a little bit under the weather. But as far as recaps for the week, college football picks were 6-2-1 over the last 2 weeks. Nowlin's lock of the week is 1-1, and NFL went 2-2. So Rick's going to take over this week as far as the sports investment section of our podcast. Rick, what do you like?
So for college football this week, I like Michigan at Nebraska, -3.5. Michigan looks for real, fellas. And I told Nolan last week, Michigan, they were the dogs, I think, against Wisconsin. And Nolan wasn't a believer in it. I liked Michigan. Michigan ended up pulling it off, and they look like a legitimate contender. I think them and Penn State is going to be a hell of a game if they both go into that game undefeated. Another pick I like, we talked about it earlier, SMU, -13.5 at Navy. SMU is playing some great ball right now. They are playing some really great ball now. They go to Navy. I don't see it being much of a problem. I still think SMU rolls. I think they win this game by about 21 points, to be honest with you. And my last college football pick that I really like is Ohio State -21 versus Maryland. Maryland had a lot of hype. A lot of hype. And I know a lot of us took Maryland last Friday.
Cost me.
To cover against Iowa. That did not happen. Iowa looked legitimate. Maryland looked awful. And Ohio State is kind of going under the radar right now.
After the loss.
After that loss to Oregon at home. Just no one's really talking about Ohio State much. They're still at number 7 in the country. It's not like they're, you know, barely beating teams in it either. They are getting some dominant wins. I like to, and they're at home this week. So I like the 21 against Maryland. I think it very well could possibly be a blowout game. 35, 42 points. Those are my three college football picks of the week. I do have some NFL picks as well. One that I really like is Cleveland +1.5. They're going to LA. They're playing the Chargers. The Chargers are going coming up from a Monday night game, going to Sunday. A little bit shorter week for them. Again, really big win. Really big win on Monday night football against the Raiders. Usually followed by a bad loss. And I could very well possibly see Cleveland beating them in LA. Another one I like, the Rams. The LA Rams at Seattle. That is a Thursday night football game. Division game. Really big game. A lot on the line. The Rams had a really, really, really bad loss.
I like the over weekend. On that one.
A really bad loss. The Rams are -2.5 right now. Seattle had a big win against San Francisco. I think the Rams are going to come back with something to prove. They had a really big win against Tampa Bay. Laid a goose egg against Arizona. I think they come back stronger than ever. They go to Seattle, and I think they beat Seattle in Seattle. My last pick was Indianapolis +7 at Baltimore. Monday night football game. Baltimore was a full go past weekend against Denver, who was out 7 starters, and they didn't look dominant. They won the game convincingly. It was 23-7. However, to me, they just did not look like they dominated that game. Indianapolis picked up their first win of the season. Granted, they have been playing some pretty tough teams. They did play a down Miami team right now who was without Tua. But they went in there and they took care of business in Miami. And I think they do the same this week. Even if they don't win, I think they cover the 7. 7 to full touchdown. That's, to me, that's, I wouldn't have done that if I'm, you know, putting these bets out here. If Baltimore was, you know, like a -4.5 or something, I would have maybe. But 7, I think 7's a little too high. If I'm you, I'm taking Indy this week.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Again, shout out to Nalan. Hopefully he feels better. He'll be back on next week. So we're not going to have a lock of the week for Nalan this week. So we're really missing him this week. Hopefully he feels better. Some MLB. I know we talked about we're gonna do some MLB talk. I start caring about MLB about this time because it's playoff time. I mean, the season is so long, guys. But Boston beat New York yesterday. I don't know if you saw JD Martinez sprained his ankle running out to the outfield, stepped on second base, and sprained his ankle, was out for the game. And that definitely changed some lines. New York put out their free agent pickup, was supposed to be the savior. Didn't happen. They pulled him pretty quickly. Boston wins big.
It was a 3-1 ball game in the 6th inning. Sorry for those of you that are Yankee fans. Aaron Judge gets on first. He's at first, 3-1 ball game, one out. And Stanton hits a rocket off the left center wall, hits a double, and Judge gets thrown out at home to get out number
off
two.
Off the Green Monster.
Yes. Had he makes, had Judge slide in safe there, it is a 3-2 ball game, one out, top of the sixth, on the road, you have all the momentum right now.
Right.
I think it is a, I think New York possibly pulls that game out had he become safe at home. Instead, Boston makes an amazing relay to get him out there at home, and from there they just ran away with it. So shout out to Boston.
Shout getting out to it Boston. Done, man. The Red Sox moving on.
Anybody who can beat the Yankees, I'm fully going to be for that. I don't think anybody that's not a Yankees fan even likes them a little bit.
And tonight another wild card game. The Dodgers and
the Red Hot Cardinals.
The Cardinals, yeah.
Cardinals were on a 17-game win streak just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it should be another great game tonight. And then, of course, H-Town is back in the mix, and that's good to see. It seemed like earlier when they had traded some guys, maybe Wooden was looking that it was a wholesale, but they're back in it, and they're playing pretty well. And I some people have them penciled in as their NLCS ALCS contenders.
I am one of those. I'm one of those people. I think that Houston, to me, they're my favorite to come out of the American League right now. It's like you said, man, that people were kind of doubting them there in the beginning. They made a couple of released a couple guys, and you know, people tend to do that whenever they're going to rebuild. But here they are with, you know, over 100 wins, and you know, Houston's going to make a real push, man, for the ALCS. I think they're going to be able to get that done. I'm picking them again to go to the World Series. They're kind of looking like they did back in, you know, what was it, 2017, whenever they won the World Series. They're kind of looking like they did then again, and I like it a lot.
I'm going to ride the Red Sox. Hopefully the Red Sox can do it. I'm a Rangers fan, so I don't like Houston.
Yeah, I am also a Rangers fan. It hurts me a little bit to pick Houston, but I'm gonna go with the boys.
Yeah, I mean, my dad one time, I think everybody, the whole country, was rooting for Boston in 2004 to break the curse. Been a fan ever since. I was 9 years old when that happened. So
I was young too, man. I was a big Pedro Martinez guy. Love me some Manny Ramirez. They had a
Kurt Schilling with a bloody sock. Let's go, baby.
If I remember correctly, I could be wrong here, but I think they still had Kevin Youkilis at the time. I was a huge fan of Kevin Youkilis.
That's a
name from the bag there. But you know, talking about the ALCS, let's talk about the National League a little bit. You know, you have those two teams in the West, man. The Dodgers and the Giants. Both surpassed 100 wins, I think. I think it's 107 and 106 for the Giants and the Dodgers, respectively. You know, I think that this year's the year. I don't know if you're going to like this or not. Atlanta gets over the hump and they win the National League. I think that it's their time. I think that they're going to pull it off. They're due to get out. You read to me earlier their few, you know, playoff losses in the past couple of years. I think they're due, man. I think it's their time to go to the World Series.
It seems that their kryptonite right now is the Dodgers. 2018, they lost to the Dodgers 3-1 in the division round. 2019, they lost in the division round to the Miami Marlins 3-2. Last year, they got all the way to the NL Championship. Lost to the Dodgers, though, 4-3. So I think if they can get over that Dodger, you know, curse they have going on right now, I think they have a shot. They're still pretty young. They're still a pretty young team. Okuna is, I mean, a superstar for them.
Right.
He is a monster.
I've been a fan of the Braves ever since TBS back in the day on the
cable. They would always play on them.
They'd always have them and Cubs on WGN.
The Dodgers are the favorite right now to win the whole World Series. They are at +400. Take what you want with that information. But baseball to me is tricky, man.
Well, let's say this, Ricky. If I'm stabbing you in the ribs right now, telling you to give me a World Series matchup, who do you got?
World Series matchup, I'm taking San Francisco Giants from the NL and the Tampa Bay Rays. from the AL.
That's Nolan's early pick.
Tampa Bay.
The Rays, yeah. Mm-hmm. Take the Rays.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I think I've already kind of directed myself towards this, and Atlanta might be a long shot, but I have the Atlanta Braves coming out of the National League and the Houston Astros coming out of the American League. Now, both of those might be long shots, but I have a really good feeling about this.
Should be interesting with baseball. It's October, and it's always a fun time for baseball playoffs. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. We want to give a shout-out to TNC Sounds for hooking us up with microphones and some other equipment. Hopefully the sound is better this week. We're pushing and striving to make it a better podcast. Liking the feedback, liking the things that we're hearing from you guys. Don't hesitate to comment at Three Coaches Podcast on Twitter, the Coaches Office Sports Podcast on Facebook and YouTube, and hit us up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else that podcasts are available. Again, another great Wednesday, another great day talking sports, and we'll see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, man, you know, I really look forward to this time, man, coming in here, and it's our job, right, to talk sports. You know, we do it all the time, but, you know, it's just a different kind of environment here, man. And I really look forward to all the Wednesdays where we get to come in and just, you know, talk about sports, man. It's just really fun, you know. I want to say, you know, I think I said this last week, but if you like the podcast, man, subscribe, like, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, tell your friends, tell your family. You know, the more listeners we get, the better it'll be for us. The quality improves, the content improves with your guys' feedback. You know, so let us know what you think. If you want to hear about something, if there's something that we missed, if there's something that we need to get corrected on, you know, let us know, and we'll do our best to you know, satisfy that need that you want, and, you know, keep coming back, man. Like I said, we love doing this, and we love hearing from you guys.
Still, anybody, we're looking for sponsorship. I mean, we can throw a little ad in here for you, $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever you can give. Any little bit helps. We're just trying to make this better for you guys. Hopefully, pretty soon, we can get a YouTube channel up and start recording this. Putting YouTube channels out, so now you're not only listening to it, but you're watching us as we do it as well. Anything else, Coach?
I think that's it, guys. Again, great fun. We'll see you next week.